All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We are back with another session of MSP Initiative. I apologize, I am joining from my phone today, so the video is probably a little bit off from the usual, but it's not going to stop us. We're going to keep rolling with the session, so I'm excited for that. I have to be honest, we've done a bunch of these, and I was really excited when I saw the guest for this week being DefenseX. I've seen you guys popping up everywhere, so I'm super excited to dig into that story and hear a little more about what you guys are doing. So I am very excited to be here with Dave today. I'm going to give him a chance to introduce himself in just a second. I want to do a quick housekeeping. So a couple things. You might be watching this on Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn or whatever platform my team's streaming it to right now. Questions always come through the easiest if they are in session. So feel free to head over to mspinitiative.com, register for the session. You can join anytime during today's session, or get notified for all the future ones, which is always nice. Jump on in, ask questions away. Other thing I always like to highlight is we'd like to have fun at MSP Initiative. It's definitely part of the DNA. So got a lot of good stuff coming up. We've got a party coming up next week. So that'll be our first one of the year. We're heading over to Enable Empower. So this is the second Enable event we're doing. First one was last year in Prague. So we're going to be down in Frisco, Texas, right outside of Dallas, with their Empower event next week. And then following that, just a few short weeks later, we have our first event of the year, MSP Community Minds. So this was feedback from a couple of years. We had MSP tell us that they really felt like the content they were hearing was great and they enjoyed and appreciate all the people got up on stage and told them about different areas of the business, but it was always how it's going to help their business or what it could do to their business. It was never how to actually facilitate doing that area, whether it was a sales program or an MSA. So we've kind of tapped into different people we worked with over the years throughout sessions like this and said, hey, somebody like Dave, hey, Dave, you guys are, really blowing up in the security ring. Could you guys climb in and talk to us a little bit about what you're doing? But help MSPs maybe start the security program. And because that was the whole kind of idea and the morale behind this event. So that's coming up in Nashville, Tennessee. It's going to be the 17th and 18th of April. So hope to see everyone there. Head over to our website to take a better look. So with that, Dave, I'm gonna go ahead and ask you to introduce yourself. Tell us your story. What's your background? Where'd you come from? And then we'll dive into the DefenseX story and go from there.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great. So obviously, Dave Make, channel director for DefenseX, been with the company for 2 years, essentially came on when we launched the product officially worldwide. My background, I've really been in IT since 96. That dates me for sure. But yeah, started in distribution and, rolled with the changes of the market. And here I am in cybersecurity today. I've touched a lot of different products, mostly a lot of hardware back in the day, but we've transitioned out of that into a lot of basically software, cloud software. So that's where I am.
Awesome. Okay. So what drew you over to DefenseX?
The product, the opportunity here to, really brand a product and grow it from, I want to say literally nothing. When we launched, obviously we didn't have much market share. So it was an exciting time to come aboard while we were launching, particularly with Pax8, our distributor. And just, yeah, just get on board and ride this thing and see where we can take it. It's definitely a very unique, a little bit ahead of the curve back 2 years ago. So it was a lot of discussions, a lot of training, a lot of education along the way, but it's been fun. And as you said, you see us everywhere now. So we're making some noise, I guess.
I definitely do. No, it's always cool to watch. I think one of the cool things in our space is you have so many emerging technologies and vendors. We see some work out really well, we see some not, we see some decide that maybe the MSP, program isn't really the best for them. They kind of go back to the enterprise. So we've seen a little bit of mix of everything, and it's really cool to see when somebody gets in and they just take off like you guys have. I mean, obviously that shows that it's, the right fit for the market. And it's funny, I was with your team last week over in Australia for the Pax8 APAC kickoff. So definitely been seeing you guys at a lot of those Pax8 events, which is great. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the product and the problem that you guys solve for MSPs?
Yeah, so let's start with the problem, I guess, and why the product is here today. We definitely saw the landscape change of attacks. The attacks were coming from a different level of entry point. If we go back in the day, everything was firewall related, everything was network related. How do we protect that? I think, all those vendors have done a great job to secure the perimeter of, the four walls of an environment of an organization. But the world has changed. We've gone out, we carry laptops around, we carry phones and tablets around. We're doing work from God knows where most of the time. And that's the accessible area today. And that's where the attacks are coming from. The landscape of attacks have completely changed. We're seeing those attacks up around 80%, depending if you're talking malware, ransomware. But that they're coming in at the endpoint now. But it's not just a DNS, allow block. Let's secure some of these websites. Let's stop people from going to certain websites. It is way beyond that. It is web browsing, period. Where do you go? What do you do? What do you do with your credentials? Where are you putting your credentials in? And what are you downloading? And then generally speaking, where are you surfing? What websites are you going on a day-to-day basis? That's the control that's needed. And that's where DefenseX lies. It's that next step. We like to call ourselves the next gen of DNS.
Okay, makes sense. Very cool. No, I mean, I think you're 100% on. Obviously, I mean, we see it. We're very on the go business ourselves. We're accessing from everywhere, and I think as technology's gotten better and education's gotten better around cybersecurity, we're seeing more and more threats. That probably been sitting around for years, right? I mean, I just saw a whole article about don't buy cheap Wi-Fi light switches or Wi-Fi light bulbs, right? I think everyone's tempted to, oh, Philips Hue, that's a little bit a lot more expensive than this other one that's on Amazon for a fourth of the price. Why would I buy that? And it's funny because you've seen our market kind of flooded with devices like that, and so the ability to actually control and understand where the traffic's going out of a device like that. I think it's great.
Absolutely. And this is where I alluded earlier about kind of the education piece of what we're doing. And definitely 2 years ago, people would be, wow, this is like super cool. This is great technology, but I'm not sure where I'm using this just yet. I'm not sure where do I place this. Where does this go in my stack? But now I think we've done all that legwork, if you will, and people are starting to understand that. DNS just doesn't crack it today. We provide a DNS solution, but it's not the foolproof. It's leaving a lot of doors unlocked.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think COVID probably forced your story quite a bit. Similar to ours, I think, we saw on the phone side of things, we definitely saw the increase of more soft phone only environments. People are just easy. I have a computer in my pocket. Why am I going to bother to buy one? Just put it on the desk. And some industries, right, lawyers just want to feel that phone slam when they hang up. But I think we saw the increase of, okay, we could see ourselves not having the physical phones. And it was slow, but you definitely saw it increasing year over year. And then COVID definitely took a huge jump. Because people are like, I don't want to run a line to my office for my SIP phone. Or I don't know how to hook that up to the back of my computer. You different stuff like that, where just people were like, I don't know how the heck I'd bring this thing home and hook it in. So just set it up on my cell phone and I'll use it that way. And I feel like there was such a push on that, but I think you saw everybody in cybersecurity were like, okay, so we're all going remote. Oh no, we're all going remote. because now all of a sudden you don't control the environment and you have no idea what, is your employee that has a lot of sensitive data on their computer going home to home, that they bought a lot of those cheap Amazon light switches. If so, do we have a problem here? So having that level of control on the endpoint and be able to protect, where's the data, what's accessing this computer, and then where's that data going out to is crucial.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know for sure. Since COVID, it's just exploded, right? I mean, companies are trying to bring people back in the office, but I think everybody's had that taste of working from home. Realizing that life's a lot better when you're working from home per se, but they're bringing them back in, but they're not bringing them back in full time. These are, Come in on a Tuesday, come in Tuesday, Thursday. Everything else is going to be, you're good from working from home, enough face time with people to get things done internally. But then they need to exit the building and go work from home. And that's the unknown, right? Where are they going? How do we protect them? We don't want them to be infected and then come into the office and then just completely infect the entire office. And it's kind of like COVID, right? I mean, don't come to the office if you got COVID, because you're gonna spread it around. And that's the idea, is
Sounds like a good marketing campaign for you.
don't be COVID.
I mean, if you were sick in the morning, you wouldn't go to the office, would you?
Right, exactly.
No, it's 100%. I mean, it is crazy to watch how much that's changed the environment. I mean, I definitely would not want to be in commercial real estate. That's for sure. I think we're seeing a pushback in the other way. I think it's I've worked remotely for a long time. Pre-COVID, we were always a remote office. It actually happened with our MSP. Our MSP, being in the Philadelphia area, we lost talent to New York, Jersey, DC, even up to Boston. The New York corridor is just such a large chunk of the population, plus a huge set of the tech. So with that, we were losing tech all over the place, and finally our MSP got frustrated and said, "That's it," and just threw out job recs in like 30 different secondary markets and did really well.
Right.
And with that, it naturally gave us an around the clock. Before that was as popular on the MSP side. So we've followed the same trend when we started the software business and said we don't need people to be in a physical office and in Philadelphia just to be successful. And I think we've seen people who are really successful with that model. I think we've seen people who aren't. So I think jury's out. I think it might go the large chunk coming back in, but I still do think there's a large percentage of the population. I think especially people who are like, "Hey, look, I can do it. I can do it very successfully. I don't need to be in an office." And I think it depends on the role. Like SDRs, I feel like they benefit a ton by being in the office and hearing each other talk and the evolution of the pitch and all of that. But I think I'm the graphic designer or I'm just a really good sales rep. I don't think that I necessarily need to be middle of the office.
And I still think, just the day and age that we live in, people are, or most company gives very flexible life and work balances. So I got to pick up my
Definitely.
kid, so I'm picking up my kid, but I'm still working from 3:30 to 5:30, so they're taking their computer still home. So they might not be full time in their house working, or at a Starbucks, or on the road in a hotel, but they're still at some point during a week or a month, they're at home. So that computer, it can be vulnerable anytime, right? So it's critical to protect everything, even though it might be, very few or a very small percentage of the time it's outside the walls of the environment of the office.
We mentioned airport, hotel, Starbucks. I mean, those are terrifying areas from a cybersecurity standpoint.
No kidding. Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. You and I do it a lot.
yeah, I do it quite a bit, and every time I'm like, "Oh!" I mean, luckily, with Pax8, I'm sure you went through the same thing, right? We would go through a massive security upheaval of the company, and we're actually finalizing our SOC 2 right now. But so with that,
Same with us.
I've definitely been through the ringer on it, and I've an alarming amount of software on my computer now to protect us, so which is great, because yeah, I do look around and I do think about that when I'm in a coffee shop in a city because my flight's later in the day or I'm in an airport. You've heard the horror stories, right, with such as like USB jacking and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I mean those environments are definitely scary, and I don't think there's enough focus on the protection around those. It's all open Wi-Fi, right? Check the box, agree that you'll get our email trying to get you to come back to this airport, and off you go.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you brought up a good point of how many, probably agents or products you got loaded on your computer. And a lot of this product is very heavy, right? It's taking up a lot of storage, a lot of memory.
Absolutely.
And that's a big pushback, right? Because a lot of the SaaS products today, they require agents. And, we've talked to a lot of MSPs. They're like, "Oh, I've already got six, seven agents on a computer. I don't think I can put another one on there." The nice thing about DefenseX is it's extremely light, takes up very little storage and space on the computer. So we wouldn't really be a burden on that computer, even though you have six or seven. And that's critical, right? As
That's
we
great.
go so SASE model, I mean, and everybody's doing it, this non-prem stuff, this is what's going to happen. And vendors got to be a little lighter if they can, because it's going to get out of control and there won't be any more space essentially for another player on a laptop to be able to be there to help protect.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think we've all seen it. Some of the SaaS products, especially when we first went hosted, right? You saw some of the PSAs and things like that. All of a sudden, you get some other things running the computer. You'd maybe start getting some data into that PSA, and things would just slow way the hell down. And the MSPs get in the
Exactly.
call, and everyone's upset. And I think it's we're getting better with it. But I agree with you. I think there needs to be a strong push. And I mean, that's just kind of the next stage of architecture, right, on software.
Yeah.
Kind of like we saw that big push in the mid 2000s, maybe like 2010s, where everyone was like, oh, we need an API. Like, integrations are
Right.
not going away. They are at the core of what we're going to do and how we're going to be successful. We need a real API. And you watch that. I mean, Datto rewrote a lot of stuff to put in a really solid API back in like 2016, 2015. And that was a major move for them. But I used to work at Autotask for 5.5 years, and that was a huge key to our success. Was we brought on two, three integrations a month, where our
Right.
competitor was bringing on two, three a quarter.
Yeah, we're living that world right now as we expand and grow and MSPs are saying, I use this, I use that. Are you integrated? And we're like, okay, we'll go do it. We're a little bit
Give
reactionary on
me
that. We're a
yeah.
little reactionary on that. Obviously trying to do the main ones like a ConnectWise or a Datto, as you mentioned, Ninja. But yeah, there's so many integrations out there. It's crazy. And trying to keep up with them is obviously important, but it is daunting in the on the tasks of our engineers to be able to make those happen. Something else I want to bring up, we talk about different products and how heavy they can be on the system. I'm actually part of the SASE group with CompTIA. We just
Oh,
got back
nice.
from our meetings. Yeah, we were in our meetings last week, and we've been developing a let's call it a checklist for MSPs to be able to assess a vendor. What's a good vendor and why would you bring them on? And what's the steps you should actually go through to be
Okay.
able to assess whether or not, should I go forward or should I not go forward? And then we have, once you've come down to a conclusion and you've got your score, if you will, that you want to move forward, is then what do you need to do after the fact? What are all the things you need to put in line to be able to launch this vendor with you? So we're hoping this document will be ready by 2025. And I think it'll be a great tool. This is essentially, if someone comes to approach me and says, why should I bring you? Why should I add you to my stack? I mean, obviously as a vendor, I'm gonna paint this great picture and tell them all the great things that we do, as any vendor would. But in essence, is it the right vendor for you and what you're doing? And what your clients require and need. So that's what we're preparing. And I think this is going to be an excellent document, just generally speaking,
Oh, yeah.
as technology just explodes and there'll be so many more vendors coming on out of the blue. We'll see more, new startups in different areas. And it's going to be a difficult decision. It already is a difficult decision for MSPs to where to go and what's the next product to bring on? So I think this document will be really, really important for them.
No, I couldn't agree more. I think, CompTIA has done a lot of great resources with that over the years. I've been a part of CompTIA for a long time, and definitely really appreciate some of that stuff that they do to try and kind of make lives easier for technologists. And I look at MSPs. We've had this discussion a couple times recently. Is kind of all over the board on what the assessment process is for vendors, and even just the process internally. Do we go to the show, and if we see something cool, we just come back and implement it, or is it we implement, we quarterly look at our tools, we annually look at our tools. I have some people who are like, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I'll touch
Yeah.
it when it breaks or when the relationship melts down. And I don't think that's the healthy way either. I think there's a good balance in there. And
Yeah.
that's one that I think could be another great project for a company, is kind of like what's kind of the best practice. Is it annually I should look at my vendors, and maybe I'm utilizing kind of the that you guys are making, and I'm looking back and saying, okay, who's meeting these guidelines? Who's really helping pushing forward? Or hey, we don't really do RMM today or phones today or email security today. How am I going to go ahead now? How am I going to start assessing those vendors? So I feel like there's a couple of different ways you can kind of utilize that tool that you guys are making, and help out, because I think MSP too, it's overwhelming. They get calls all day, every day.
Yeah,
And
it is. It's got to be daunting for them. I mean, going to
oh
a
yeah.
show alone and, walking a show floor and there's, 70 plus vendors sitting there, everybody wants a piece of the pie. It is. It's how do I decide which is right and, who do I pass on? Everything sounds great. You're going to go to the booth. The technology all sounds amazing. It's how does it fit into your stack? How does it fit into the portfolio of your customers, right? Not, DefenseX might not be perfect for you because maybe your customers don't have a lot of endpoints out there. Maybe it's a tiny, tiny little chunk of what your customers require. But I think where it really ties in, and you're talking about when to evaluate and when to look at the stack and when do I add, when do I maybe subtract even, because there might be another product out there that, kind of does two things that I already have one. You have to look at cyber insurance, and this is, I know we're diverting into another topic here, but it's
No,
really
no,
important.
let's do it.
It's a conversation that is really not clear right now as to what is cyber insurance, what do they need, how much should they be paying, and how does it run through a contract? The biggest problem with cyber insurance today, from what I know, is you buy the cyber insurance, you think you're it's like, but you think you're like buying a house insurance. I've done everything. I've got all the checklists. But what cyber insurance doesn't really tell you in the sense is you have things to do over the course of the year to make sure that cyber insurance is up to date. Not like house insurance. You have your house. We've assessed your house. We know what's in there. We know what you got. Unless you've changed something, you got to notify them. But with cyber insurance, you need to stay on track with keeping up with the current attacks to protect your customers. And what the biggest problem is that they sign these cyber insurance contracts. They get into them. 8 months later, their customer has an attack. They're kind of on the hook for it, if you will. And then suddenly, they only get a third of what their claim they thought their claim was going to be, because the cyber insurance company goes back and says, "Hey, unfortunately, you did not add this product during the course of the contract. So that was where the breach was. So we're only going to give you a third of what you were supposed to get." This is another huge, huge issue, and we're still trying to figure it all out. Everybody's still trying to figure it all out.
I feel like it's similar to kind of the rockiness that was when money, finance kind of stepped into the MSP arena. Traditional banking, traditional finance doesn't really understand the MSP model. It took it some time and education around it. And then all of a sudden you started seeing finance pop up that was like, oh, we'll finance you against your MRR. And everyone's like, oh, this makes way more sense. It's not against my assets
Right.
and my employees, my building, the more traditional route. Now, I think we'll see a similar route with, and I think we've already seen a little bit of an evolution, right? Because all of a sudden it was what, 2 years ago, where traditional insurance kind of shined a light over, was like, what's going on over here in this MSP room? Oh, no, this is bad for us. There's a lot of risk over there.
Yeah.
And that was when the crazy, like, they banned Datto for like a week until Ryan Weeks jumped in and helped get it back. But from, I think it was all of Allstate. I think we've already seen a little bit of an evolution where, he was a great example there. Ryan Weeks jumped forward and said, no, we're actually helping you in a lot of these scenarios. Here's how.
Right.
And they said, oh, okay, yeah, this makes sense. And they reversed their decision on that. But, it still kind of showed you what, the initial reaction was. And now through some education they've eased off, and I think they'll continue to, and I think we'll see some people that'll sprout up that'll better understand it, right? Like Fitzwall and some other ones that are really more geared towards, or Cork is a more recent one,
Yeah.
which is former Datto founders, obviously, understands MSP as well. So I think we'll see more of that with people that just kind of have the background and understand it and see the gap, right? Just like anything, there's a hole here in the industry and it needs to be filled. And whether we bring other people in and educate them, or we bring people from this industry up to do it. I think that'll hopefully get easier, but I agree with you. It's a scary spot right now, because I mean, you'd be talking, destroying someone's life. I mean, You know, MSPs, this is their livelihood, how they're putting money on the table. So a claim like that could really, put them out completely.
And vendors, not to protect all vendors out there, but we provide a technology that protects at a certain level or point in the network or helping with protecting. It doesn't do everything, right? We hackers
Of
and
course.
all these threats, they're always thinking, they're always trying to change their game. And they go, oh, I can't get in there anymore. Oh well, I'll go another route, and I'll go another route. And it's trying to keep up with where those attacks are always kind of revolving to, and trying to figure that out. And everybody thinks they'll never be the one. I'm too small to be attacked. But in fact, if there's a way to get in, that they're going to come in. Small, big, large, doesn't matter. They're going to get in there.
I couldn't agree more. When I was at Data, I still remember one of our education decks. We talked a lot about ransomware and how it can hit anyone. And you very much had that attitude in the early days. Of like, ransomware's not gonna get me. What do they want from me? There was a woman out of Ottawa, Canada, who ran a rehabilitation center for dogs, like a rehabilitation rehoming center for dogs. This woman made no money. She just loved animals. She was getting like funding from the state to help her out with it. I mean, the finances on it were awful. And it was enough to keep, the lights on at her house and the warmth going. And she got hit with ransomware. And she went back to them and was like, look, I have no money.
No
And they're like,
money, yeah.
okay, we'll half it. I mean, it was an awful scenario. The saints that those hackers were, but I think we started seeing more and more of that. I mean, granted, there's some big ones, and those are the ones that you're gonna see on the news, of course. Like no one's gonna highlight the bookstore down the street that got hit with ransomware because somebody was on a stupid website, but they are gonna highlight the MGM when somebody calls in and pretends to be
100%.
Jim from support and gets right through and shuts the whole place down. I think you're right. It's everyone's a piece of the puzzle. And it's checking off and making sure that you're I think you hit on something important earlier. It's making sure you're hitting all the other checklists today, but it's also making sure you're paying attention to what's going on and you're constantly reevaluating and updating. If you're not educating yourself, you're gonna leave a hole open and that will come back to bite you for sure. Whether it's you get directly attacked or you left it open enough that insurance will not cover you and bite you down the road.
And it's an unfortunate world, I guess, if you want to call it that, just because the hackers and these everybody trying to infiltrate companies and pull the information out, they're not going away. There's no law, I guess you want to call it law. They're not hunting these people down. They're not really trying to shut them down so much. So this is an ongoing unfortunate problem, which then goes back to the MSP as puts it on their plate, going, I have to keep going back to my customer and saying, I need to charge you more if you want to be protected. I need to charge almost every month or every 3 months or 6 months, whatever it is, because I got to add this because now there's another threat. And they're like, well, you just charged me an extra $5 a month for X product. What's that doing? Well, that's now we've got that locked down, but there's something else now happening. And this is another area of attack that could you're vulnerable to right now because you don't have this product. And it's hard for the end user to sit there and
Very
go,
hard.
man, I just I you know I every time it's 15% more, 10% more, and where does it stop? And unfortunately, there is no end in sight to where does it actually stop?
100%. No, I mean, I think that, that's probably one of the largest hurdles that I think MSPs are going to have to hurdle over is that constant increase and the constant sale. I think for MSPs it's tough because no one wants to feel like that used car salesman. Well, you could also get the floor mats and while we're doing the floor mats, salt eats cars and we could spray the bottom of your car and it'll be good forever. It's like, well, I just got the floor mats. I think it's no one wants to be that, and I think it's having the right balance and the education around it. And I think that some of what we do as vendors, right, and I think some of what we can do that I know the BWipe side we're starting to do more is education directly down to the end clients, for use of the MSPs. Like we just did a following the MGM attack, we did essentially a 2FA off of the phone. So when you dial in, it can stop you from talking to a live person unless you enter your PIN code, or I could actually push an 2FA at any point during the call before I can make any serious changes like resetting a password.
Right.
But you know, that's a tool that, you know, I can understand, you can understand, but the end clients are probably like, that's annoying. I don't like entering 2FAs. It slows me down. I just want to get into my computer. So, you know, having that education around it, and, you know, maybe we do it with a funny skit. Maybe we do it with, and actually the PAX 18 did and APAC did a great skit off of this. We honestly should have recorded that and used that, but you know, something like that, that I think is just relatable. It's funny. It's something easy to pick up. And as an end user, you can go, okay, you know, it's funny. It got my attention, but I could see how that's an issue. You know, I think that's something that we could do as vendors is step up on that side a little bit and definitely help equip the MSPs. But as MSPs, you also have to then pick it up and deliver it downstream and use it. Because
right.
The best off it will make more, for sure.
No, absolutely. And it's actually one thing I tell everybody that's very important when they start using our product is, I want to make sure that you're not just using the steering wheel and the gas pedal and the brake. I want to make sure you're using the air conditioner and the heating and the radio. So we want to walk you through that. We want to make sure you utilize the product as much as possible and make sure that your customer's protected. Don't want you spending money and you're using one third of the features, right? So it's critical. That's part of the training, right? Somebody that says, hey, yeah, this is, seems really great. Now what? Well, we'll walk you through that with your customer. We'll get on. We'll walk you through that setup. You tell us how you want it set up. You're going to do the work, but we're going to show you how to do it so you're ready for next time, right? And if we have to do it twice or three times, we have no problem with that because we want to make sure that they're set up properly. We want to make sure they're successful. And obviously, when they're facing their client and they're putting in a new product, they got to make sure that that's set up properly. And the other aspect of it is, as you're saying, the users don't like noise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Authentication twice? Why do I have to do this? The user doesn't really grasp the fact that why they need to do this, why it is not required, but definitely makes it safer. So it's the same thing with our product. We have things that run in our product. Do you want to push that out to your users? Are they going to be acceptable to just calling you and complaining all the time? But you need to tell them that this is important, why it's there and why it's in place. And then once they understand that, they go, okay, I get it now. Makes sense. So there's a downstream training, not only to the MSP, but the MSP to the customer. And we go another step. I like to say we go another step. I'm not sure if we do, maybe other vendors do this, but we like to train the actual user as well, or the company, their customer, and let them understand why this is being implemented and where it's going to help them. So they all understand, and it makes that easier for the MSP as well. So maybe we go a little bit too far. But like I said, I think that training needs to be done because the landscape changes too quickly, and it only helps the MSP to you know, help their customer properly.
No, absolutely. You know, I think one thing that you said there spoke to my heart. Coming from the PSA realm, the amount of people came in and they would use, you know, 10% of it. You know, they're like, you know, CRM was really what was getting squirrely for us, and we were, or you know, the help desk side, we were losing track of tickets. We were putting them on sticky notes, or spreadsheets. Spreadsheets was always my favorite. You know, so I think that when I look at that, that's definitely an area I think that's tough for MSPs, right? There's so many products you have, and the products are constantly expanding, and it's hard to keep up, and people are not great at reading emails. So understanding the new features, the new functionality, like you said, maybe there's a product that does two things and takes care of two, you know, one tool that I already have and does something extra. Maybe there's two tools that I have and one of them now takes over the other one.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of back to that assessment, right? And do I understand everything that my tool offers? You know, we see on like the VoIP side, for instance, a lot of the people come to the door for us are people who are like, oh, I didn't realize I could integrate my phone system with my PSA. Like, yeah, absolutely. But we also integrate to a lot of your other tools. You know, we'll see a lot of them come in on the PSA, and even though they're free integrations, you know, people might not add them because they're not realizing all the other things that tie in. And, you know, I think that's just a catalyst for a lot of the different tools out there. You know, understanding what your tools can do and where it can tie in, I think you're just able to add a lot more, even if it's just additional functionality. You know, I think that that's something that's really important nowadays. And just back to that assessment is understanding what's out there, what's new, but also what's new on the threat front. You know, it's almost as if you could split your team and do, hey, this is almost our cybersecurity advisory team, right? And they're going to kind of assess quarterly what's out there, what are the new threats, and they're paying attention to the webinars and Dave getting on stage at a show and telling me about, you know, the scary new things that are coming. And then the tools team is out there and they're, are we integrating everything? Are we getting the full efficiency and functionality out? Are we able to, you know, do any better with some of our tools? And the other hard part is people set up for tools all the time. So like your renewal for your RMM might be in February and then your phone system might be in August. So I think that stuff always throws people off too, which is tough. You know, so it's like you're almost constantly assessing. So that's another hard one I've noticed quite a bit with MSPs is using such a large tool stack. I mean, sometimes 30, 40, 50 tools.
Yeah, I totally agree that, you know, I think the first step is obviously assessing where the threats are coming and do they have protection in that area for number one. Number two is pick when you go to a show, pick who you want to talk to. Look at the vendors that are attending, take a quick little overview of what they're doing, and then use your time, you know, properly to go in and don't have to go to every booth and just stop by and go, what do you do? What do you do? Because everything will probably sound pretty amazing, right? Probably 85, 90% of it's all going to sound great. And it's kind of kid in the candy shop where you're like, oh my God, this is all so great. Now what do I do? I've got, you know, 60 cards from different vendors and they've scanned me. Now they're going to call me. And I'm like, now my head's spinning. So now what? So, you know, I would always, all the free pens and the t-shirts, I can't even get them in my suitcase. So, but yeah, I think it's kind of step back and do that first step is assess, kind of find out where you're missing first. When you go to a show, look for those products that will close those gaps for you. Understand if you have overlap. Don't just jump on products because they sound cool. That's what probably gets a lot of MSPs in trouble is they jump on these products really quickly. They haven't assessed maybe the pricing and what that's going to cost and what's that's going to cost downstream to their client. They maybe haven't really added that price in yet. And the next thing you know it, they haven't done the calculation that, well, I'm actually losing money from adding this product. I haven't done all the right things in the accounting side to up my price to make sure that my profit is staying at a certain level. So there's a lot of little tricky things in there. And, you know, one other suggestion I would say for an MSP is when you're looking at a product and when you're testing a product is to when, I guess when a vendor's reaching out and saying, hey, we want to help you. We want to onboard you. We want to show you this. As much as you think you got all the knowledge, if it's a new product, you don't. And you just won't. There's just no way because it's new. And so take the time, spend the half hour with the vendor, take the time to get trained, if you will, or get to see how the functionality works. That'll help you in your testing. It'll save you time. Even though you go, I don't have time for a 30-minute call. I just don't have time. That 30-minute time will probably save you 2 hours in the testing format, right? 100%. You're going to set things up properly. You're not going to create a lot of noise. Your testing won't fail. A lot of times when the MSPs don't engage, they set it up. They think the policies are set, creates too much noise. They go, product sucks, uninstall.
Yep.
And then what they forget is that probably is the best product for them. They just haven't taken the time to be trained, if you will, or shown the ropes.
Oh, agreed. And you know, and I think as vendors, we try to be as best as possible with our onboarding. But you know, you can only send out so many emails, phone calls, whatever. you know, we all try to evolve with it. You know, I know at B-Boy, we constantly look at like, all right, so what's some of the core thing that everyone's installing or really getting into in the product? And then what are the things that we could help train you on as you move down the road? And, you know, I would challenge you as MSPs that I know that sometimes it's easy to get busy and easy to get distracted and have other fires pop up. We totally understand that. I would say if I start a new product today, I'm going to go 3 or 4 months into my calendar and say, all right, I'm going to reassess the other features of this at the 3 or 4 month mark, right? Maybe, you know, I use phones because that's near and dear to my heart, right? Maybe I just needed a new phone system. Okay, great. I installed it. Now, 3 or 4 months down the road, have I looked at some of the functionality maybe didn't have with my old phone system, whether it's integration or things like that. Maybe on the DefenseX side, I installed it on all of our computers, but there's a lot of other endpoints out there, right? We've done on everyone. Now we should do another wave. Maybe we should do everybody's cell phone. So stuff like that. I just feel like it enough times it's like, okay, we solved that immediate burn, right? The thing that was happening right now that was making us look. But we maybe didn't take it 100%, right? And then, so I think that would be a great practice, right, to see implemented. And it is tough. You're right. I made the joke last week. We were at Red Boom, or 2 weeks ago, we were at Red Boom, and I had somebody who did come up to me. It's funny because you kind of hit on both scenarios. I had somebody who came right up to the booth and they said, "Hey, I want to talk to you." I said, "Great, I'm here." But he had looked for us before the show, decided that, hey, they had an immediate need for phones. We had a great conversation. And I had another guy who came by and he grabbed a bottle opener we had. I just clearly did not want to talk, and that's okay, right? If you just want the swag, that's okay. And the MSP that had approached me first said, "You just wanted to take that?" And I said, "That's okay, no worries." And he said, "But that not guy has your swag." And I said, "Yeah, but," and we looked over and he had this giant bag, and I said, "That guy never has to buy socks again." So it's okay. That's where he wants to use his time. That's where I'll use his time, right? But someday when he
Exactly.
opens me a beer, maybe he'll say, "You know what? I could use new phones," and he'll circle back. But we're both playing the game, kind of circling around each other. And I think if everyone kind of takes a little bit of a zoom out, there's always this weird stigma. People are like, "Ooh, vendors, don't talk to me." And it's understand that we don't want to sell to you if we're not the right product. We want to sell to you if it's the right fit, and we've had. And as we've gotten down the line, I'm like, "Hey, look, the way that you really want to set this up isn't really the way we operate. Instead of me trying to, fit square peg round hole, it's probably just isn't the right fit. Here's a couple other competitors that might be a better fit for you." And that's okay. And that's a conversation I think everyone has to be okay to have. Because if you don't and you constantly force it, right, you're building up that stigma of the MSP doesn't want to break your heart. It's like a weird dating game where you're like, I went on two dates. I don't think it's working. I'm not feeling that spark, but I also don't want to tell them because I don't think they're going to take it well. Everyone just has to be able to have that mature conversation, but also know and understand that we're all people. Sometimes it's okay just to say hello. And even if we're not doing business together, even if we're not going to do business together, that's okay too.
Exactly. And we as vendors, we're out there, we're obviously trying to promote our product. We go to these shows for one reason is to meet MSPs and to get the word out, right? And if they don't see the fit, they don't see the fit. So it's okay to say no, right? It's I'm not,
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not, like you said, round peg and square, it doesn't fit, so that's fine. I'm okay with that. But it's easier to say no than just drop the conversation. And what I'm more interested in is we've had a 5-minute conversation about DefenseX, let's say, and you know it now. You've heard the name, you sort of understand what we do. 6 months down the road, something could change in your life that all of a sudden you're like, wow, I remember I talked to this guy, DefenseX, so I should look them up again. Or it's a year or it's 2 years, whatever the case may be. We'll always be
Oh
there,
yeah.
right? We'll always be there to help. It's just, you got to make sure that it's right for you and the timing is right. And I get it's not always right, and that's fine. So yeah, I
I
think the MSPs just need. Sorry,
oh
go ahead.
good.
No, I was just going to say the MSP just needs to be, firm. If they're not interested, we'll leave you alone. Don't
Absolutely.
worry about
No,
it.
it's funny. I always relate this back to we had a partner at Datto who was a partner now at BVoIP, and he'll still tell the story. He essentially had tried Datto in like the early days. I mean, like the first couple of months of it operating back when the founder and his brother were hot gluing Legos into the boards as spacers because that was cheaper than buying board spacers. It was a good product, but it wasn't a great product yet. It had a lot of potential. He was like, "Man, that thing was scary, and I couldn't trust my business with it." And obviously they matured and made an incredible product, but he had that kind of horror story in the very beginning of something that just didn't go right, and so he swore off of it. And he got a phone call from a rep once a month for like 3 years, and the rep wasn't pushy, it wasn't blowing up everything, you know, every challenge he had was once a month. Just, hey, I'm still here. If you need anything, I'm your guy. And one day he had a relationship went bad. He said, you know what? What's that 78 voicemails I have? What's that guy's name? Let me give him a call. And he said, all right, you got 5 minutes. Convince me why. And
Right.
sometimes that's it. And as MSPs, I think, understand that sometimes that's all we're doing, right? We just want to be top of mind. We're not trying to burn down your life. And I hope no vendors are calling you on Christmas. Are you sitting
Right.
there unwrapping your presents? I'm hoping that we all have boundaries. We try to be really good about that with BVoIP. And, we obviously send emails and follow up and let you know what we're doing, but we're definitely trying to balance it all out. But it is tough, right? We've all talked about it plenty. There's lots of shows. I mean, I think I saw a stat that there's more trade shows now than there are days in the year, which is
I believe
crazy.
it. I believe it. I mean, you could literally start probably, what is it, the 3rd or 4th of January and, finish just before Christmas if you really wanted to, and you would miss some. That's the crazy thing. It's even hard as a vendor to figure out which show should we actually go to. What is the right show for us, right? And that's been a challenge in itself. So yeah.
Oh, absolutely. No, we do about 50 to 75 shows a year on average. Some years more, and it's crazy. And it's not slowing down. I think for the MSPs too, it's tough because the MSPs like to get out, they like to talk to their vendors, but even for them, it's getting to be a little bit overwhelming. I think the last 2 years have been the most I've
Yeah.
ever seen.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's a landscape that's hard. There's a lot of weeds to get through to finally get to the end point of if you're picking a product from a show or not. But it definitely the shows provide an excellent venue, not only to learn, because a lot of these shows you can learn a lot. So don't go just because there's a show floor, go to learn. But use your time wisely on the floor. Don't be overwhelmed by so many vendors. You don't have to talk to every one of them. You just need to do a little bit of research before you go and save your legs, right? I mean, you and I were at Rite Aboum, and geez, that walk from the hotel room just to the convention center was at least 15 minutes. Like,
I know.
you
You're like,
want
I
to
forgot my
you don't want to
business
do that
card.
walk. I did too. I did not go back to my room.
Yeah, I was like, there's 45 minutes of my life I'm never getting back.
Exactly. I said business cards aren't that important.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. What are you heading to next?
So we have Robin's boot camp coming up first week of April. Then we go right into an ASCII event and then right into a PAX 8 Momentum event. Yeah,
Chicago?
yeah, exactly. You guys are there?
Yep, we'll be there.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Excellent.
And then
Yeah.
I think May was a little bit later, and then obviously PAX 8 Beyond in June. I think we're splitting my team. I think some of us are going over to DattoCon Dublin as well. So next few months are definitely not slowing down at all. We're going to be at
No,
Enable and
no.
Power and a couple business days here. So we're in there on Monday. So that'd be a good one.
Yeah, we don't have anything in May right now. I don't know if we'll do anything at all, but I think based on our show schedule between really beginning of, or end of January to end of April, it's pretty thick. We did just announce at Rite Aboum was our new DNS SKU at 25 cents. Flat
Nice.
rate for every MSP. So we got a lot of traction at that show. So we can only expect that to grow. So I think we're going to need a pause in May just to make sure everybody's getting a chance to look at this new product. It's not really a new product. We really just took our core product, which was DNS plus our kind of a bit of our secret sauce, and we just stripped out the DNS and said, we're giving you DNS. We don't find the values there. We don't find it's worth a dollar anymore, DNS. So we're going to give it away for, relatively cheap, I think. And then you can
That's
see the
awesome.
value in our other products. So it's really a everybody should have minimum DNS involved with their stack, minimum,
I
but
hope
it's not
so.
enough. Yeah, we hear enough that people aren't even using DNS. So it's like, wow, okay, we'll get you going.
Yeah, I always get worried when I see like you said, the super low cost offerings of like, per tech and or per person and I know there's a little bit of a stigma online with the groups and the whole other conversation we can get into. But I think you have some of the more mature embassies. Maybe they don't always say it in the best of ways of, you know, hey, you should be charging more. But I feel like there's such a gap between the people who are starting off and maybe don't have a full product set and people who have a very mature one and a super mature cybersecurity offering. Bridging that gap between them that, you know, yes, you can charge more. And maybe, yes, you should be telling them to charge more, but maybe in a different way. It's tough.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the things when we did announce this at the show at Rida Boom, we had a fairly large MSP come to us immediately after. And they said, you know what? We're actually able, the product we're using currently, we're only due to the budget of our clients, we're only able to actually get this out to about a third of our endpoints because of budget. He goes, now at your price point, we can do 100% of the endpoints now. So they're testing it right now, but that was a really interesting comment. I thought that, wow, I think maybe we actually did something really smart. Was we realize as a company, we don't think DNS has that value anymore because it's very basic with allow and block and a few categorizations and things like that. So we value it at around that price point anyways for the MSP, and then they're going to upsell it, obviously. But the true value is in that next gen that I'd speak about that we're kind of rolling into. But that was a great comment from them to go, wow, we were actually not able to provide a DNS to everybody just because of price point. And that kind of reflects back on the fact that maybe DNS is a little too expensive from everybody right now. And maybe we did the right thing. Time will tell.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love that. Obviously, I mean, anytime that we can kind of raise all ships, right? I mean, it's good because we don't need a lot of, you know, a lot more attacks on MSPs that then go downstream to their clients. And that kind of PR on our industry is never good. And it's just going to result in more regulation, right? And I think that's what we've watched happening over the last couple of years is, the government's kind of sniffing around more and more and trying to figure out what's going on over here. And eventually that will lead to some sort of regulation and, you know, bare minimums. I would imagine DNS would be on there of, if you're going to label yourself as X or you're going to offer these types of services, you need to at least protect Y. I think that would be probably the fastest and easiest way for them to fight back against it. Because the reality is, like the call SIM centers and all the rest of it, I mean, you're right, they're not going anywhere, at least anywhere fast. The only thing we can kind of do is play a little bit of defense on them. That's great. I love the fact that you guys are offering that, and I think that'll be pretty good to see.
Yeah, and going back to that cyber insurance part of it, I think that's where cyber insurance will end up kind of coming out, where there'll be tiers, I guess, if you will. So if you only want to spend so much and only have so much coverage, you need to have X. And that could be, as long as you have DNS in there, that's part of one of the criteria. Now, if you want to go this package or next package, you're going to need some higher level protection. And that might include browser isolation, whatever. I don't know where that will actually go, but I see that. I hear those conversations already happening with cyber insurance, is that they understand pricing points and they understand coverage. So there looks like that's a road they're going to go down where there'll be tiers. And they can mix and match that with each client, right? They can have their different stacks and they're like, okay, you're going to get cyber insurance for stack, A, which is kind of the bottom line. Just keep in mind, you're not fully protected here. There's a lot of opportunity for attack points, but at least you got something, and this is what you can afford. That's great. I think that's where it'll end up going, and DNS will fall into that lower category.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think, I know we're getting up to the hour here. I think we're already seeing a little bit of that, right? It's kind of like health insurance or life insurance, where they're like, oh, you're doing all right. Things are in pretty good order. We'll give you a better rate. I think we're seeing some of that from some of them, which is great. I think some of them are still just trying to grasp the idea of this industry and the level of exposure you could technically have. So I think that there's still a little bit of that fear happening, right? And I think there'll be some education back into that industry. And, as I said before, I think we'll see more people rise out of this industry to kind of meet that need or continue to grow from this industry, which would be great. I mean, last thing I always like to leave these with there is, if you could, on a broad platform, if you could give a tip to MSPs, what would you say is one thing that they should be looking at right now, or one thing, what kind of threat that they should be, keeping an eye out for, What are your words of wisdom you want to leave the crowd with?
This leads a door open for me to promote DefenseX, I guess,
Hey,
but
please.
honestly, it's why I joined, right? And I hate to use really the this is the answer, and it reflects back on what we're doing, but really the COVID thing, right? Everything that's happened from COVID, we are not going to pull in all the employees back into the office. It's going to be impossible. I already know companies that they're getting pushback, right? So they're doing what we talked about earlier. Come in Wednesday, come in Thursday, Tuesday, Thursday, whatever it is. So the endpoint is going to be critical. I know what we do and where we protect on the endpoint, but there's going to be multi factors involved here. It's not just going to be necessarily what we do. Look at what SentinelOne does, right? They do a portion of it, all the emailing. Proofpoint is another good example. These are all key products that do protect at that endpoint level. CIS controls. Looking at CIS controls, I know it's complicated. There's so many subcategories to this thing. It is bonkers. But if you just look at the categories themselves and make sure that you're positioning products that, fit into at least those one of those 30 or all of those 32 categories, then you know you're covered. And then I know it's a lot and you maybe can't do it all, but you really the endpoint to me is now the point of where the threats are coming from. We could go through all the CompTIA stuff that they've done from last year. Numbers are ludicrous on the endpoint side of it. So trust me, you got to look at endpoint protection. If it's not DefenseX, you got to go SentinelOne. You got to go on the Proofpoint side of things and many others out there. I'm just naming, CrowdStrike, another one. These are key factors. At least getting that part done, we layer on top of that. So that's an extra layer of protection. That's going to be up to you to decide whether you can fit that into your stack and into the budget.
Agreed. No, I think that's great advice. Last one I'll leave you with then is what's the best way for people to contact you or the team?
Well, I guess you could always email me, dave.make@defensex.com. I'm going to be at all the shows this year. So if you're going to any of the big ones, as we talked about, Robin Robbins, obviously Beyond, we talked about IT Nation Secure, any of the ASCII shows, I'll be there. So look for us at any of the booths. But yeah, definitely drop me along at my email address. Always happy to chat. We can do a demo very quick, 20 minutes. Yeah, up to you. If you want to hear about us, happy to chat.
Awesome. Dave, I appreciate it. Always a great chat and lots of knowledge. So definitely appreciate that. For everyone else, if you need anything from Dave, you got his email address right there. Look for him at the shows, eventsx.com, right? Any of the usual channels. So appreciate it. We'll be back on Thursday. I think George is going to be back for that one. Dave, I'll see you in Chicago and I'm sure at Beyond and plenty of other things before the year is up. So look forward to chatting with you again soon. Thanks everyone for joining us. And this is another MSP Initiative Live.
Thanks, Alex.